Today is Friday, May 22nd, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Solopreneur. In the next 8 to 9 minutes, we'll cover the private credit engine that quietly shut off, why your consumer credit models are running on stale data, and the passive equity threshold that could blindside every robo-advisory and embedded brokerage platform. Here's the number that should stop you cold. April CPI printed at 3.8%. And the Cleveland Fed is already forecasting above 4% for May. The inflation driver isn't demand pull, it's a cost-push oil shock, and the Fed has no clean tool to fight cost-push inflation without simultaneously torching demand. That's the trap, and it's compounding on top of two other stress vectors that are hitting fintech builders specifically right now. Let's start with private credit, because this one has a direct line to your capital stack. Ed Dowd of Finance Technologies has been tracking net flows in private credit, and for the first time in years, those flows have gone negative. More redemptions than inflows. His framing is blunt. Private credit was the marginal engine that kept fintech lending alive after banks pulled back from commercial, industrial, and consumer loans post-2020. That engine is now, in his words, shut off. And it's not a soft patch. It's two artificial demand pillars contracting at the same time. Deficit-financed consumer stimulus and private credit expansion, both reversing simultaneously. Now here's the wrinkle that Jim Bianco of Bianco Research adds, and this is where it gets really specific for fintech. A large share of private credit fund portfolios, some up to roughly 80%, are concentrated in software company loans. The underwriting thesis was clean. SaaS businesses have high switching costs, stable recurring revenue, low churn. That moat thesis is being directly attacked by agentic AI and AI code generation tools right now. The problem is that private credit valuation rules require loans to be marked near par until customers actually leave and cash flows visibly decline. That creates a 12 to 18 month lagging indicator problem. These funds are currently reporting peak cash flows and no visible customer losses. Investors who understand the underlying deterioration are trying to exit now, at near par, before the forced markdowns hit. So if you have a warehouse line, a credit facility, or a capital partnership sourced from a private credit vehicle, you need to audit it today. Look at the covenant structures, the liquidity buffers, and specifically whether there are redemption gate provisions. A redemption gate at your capital provider isn't a financial abstraction. It's an existential operational risk. Building on that, if your lending or underwriting product serves software sector small businesses, your default probability model is almost certainly using backward-looking cash flow data that doesn't yet reflect AI-driven customer churn. Recalibrating now, before the marks are forced, is the only capital-efficient move. Shifting to consumer credit, and if you're building BNPL, earned wage access, or any consumer lending product, this section is for you. Danielle DiMartino Booth of QI Research has been tracking the New York Fed's household debt and credit survey, and delinquency rates are rising across every debt category. The Philadelphia Fed Manufacturing Index printed negative, with the employment component negative for two consecutive months. Teen summer hiring is projected to hit the lowest level on record since 1948. But here's the structural issue that makes the headline numbers misleading. Only 1 in 4 unemployed Americans is actively collecting unemployment benefits. Gig economy absorption of displaced workers is masking the real depth of labor distress in official statistics. What this means practically is that traditional employment verification inputs are producing false positives on creditworthiness. If you're pricing consumer credit risk using pre-2024 employment baselines, you are systematically underpricing default probability. The tactical fix is to layer in alternative data. Payroll aggregator APIs, tools like Argyle, Pinwheel, and Atomic, capture non-W-2 gig income streams that don't show up in standard verification. You should also be monitoring HELOC drawdown behavior, because DiMartino Booth flagged that consumers are using home equity lines to pay down debt, not invest. That's a debt service stress signal, not a wealth-building signal. And if you're running ACH debits, tighten your return code monitoring now. Notch's unauthorized return rate threshold for WEB debits is 0.5%, and an elevated R01 and R09 environment driven by consumer savings depletion will pressure that threshold faster than most platforms are modeling. Run your vintage analysis on cohorts originated in Q3 and Q4 of 2025. Run it against current delinquency trajectories. That's not optional at this point. Now let's talk about the passive equity threshold, because this one is flying under the radar for most founders building robo-advisory or embedded brokerage products. Mike Green has published a closed-form mathematical model on passive market share dynamics. The current figure, passive asset ownership, sits at approximately 53-54% of total equity market assets, growing at roughly 4% per year. His model identifies 65% as a critical structural threshold, and at the current growth rate, we're approximately 2.5 years from breaching it. But here's the more immediately relevant number. Trading activity tied to the passive complex, ETF creation and redemption, mutual fund rebalancing, is already estimated at approximately 60% of all daily trading volume. We're already near the threshold level in terms of market microstructure. Green validated this model empirically. He predicted with approximately 95% confidence that 14, the inverse VIX ETF, which had about $2.5 billion in assets under management, would go to zero within 2 years, because roughly 70% of its daily volume was tied to the inverse VIX complex. It collapsed to zero in a single day, approximately 6 months after his analysis. The same nonlinear, self-reinforcing mechanism now applies to the broader equity market, which Green sizes at approximately $73 trillion. For founders, the actionable response has three parts. First, incorporate passive share percentage as a variable input in your volatility modeling engine and flag equity exposure calculations when passive share exceeds 60%. Second, audit any automated rebalancing or stop-loss logic for pro-cyclical feedback loops, logic that could amplify a cascade rather than dampen it. Third, implement circuit breaker logic in your execution layers. Green's model gives roughly a 12-month actionable window before the real danger zone. One more structural issue before we wrap, the Fed leadership transition happening June 17th. Kevin Warsh takes the chair at that FOMC meeting, and both DeMartino Booth and Bianco flag meaningful uncertainty around his policy positioning. Warsh secured the chairmanship partly by signaling rate cut alignment with the administration, but those arguments were made when crude oil was around $50 a barrel. The backdrop now is 3.8% CPI and oil well above $100. Those are materially different conditions. Bianco's historical data point is worth keeping in mind. An average 11% equity market decline accompanies new Fed chair transitions. For fintech founders, the compliance critical takeaway is this. Any product marketing that references rate trajectories, phrases like lower rates coming, variable APR disclosures, or floating rate product positioning, is a UDAP exposure vector right now. Rate adjustment logic should be a runtime configurable parameter with versioned configuration, not a hard-coded constant. You need to be able to update TILA disclosure compliance windows when policy shifts, and you need to be able to do it fast. Dowd's two-scenario stress framework is the most actionable thing you can take away for your product planning. Base case has oil at approximately $125 and CPI reaching approximately 5%. Tail risk scenario has oil breaking above $120 to $130 and holding, with a technical pattern projecting to $200 to $250 and CPI potentially reaching approximately 11% by August. If you have variable rate lending products, floating rate credit lines, or BNPL cost structures that assumed declining rates, you need to stress test those scenarios against your unit economics before the end of this quarter. Quick win before close of business today. Pull your warehouse line or credit facility documentation and find the redemption gate and liquidity buffer clauses. If you don't know where those are in your agreement, that's your first deliverable. If you do know, Map a 30-day liquidity freeze scenario against your current origination pace, and identify the breakpoint. That single exercise will tell you whether you have a theoretical risk or an operational emergency. Do it today. Thanks for spending this time with me. That's your FinTech briefing for Solopreneur. These macro signals are converging fast, and the window to act before they become realized defaults and funding freezes is measured in quarters. Come back tomorrow. We'll keep tracking the signals that matter for independent builders. Get after it. We'll talk tomorrow.